Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Edie Summers, and my very esteemed guest today is Dr. Ronnie Pollock. He's currently a research fellow at the Institute of Lifestyle Medicine, Joslin Diabetes Center at Harvard Medical School. And Dr. Pollock is a board certified in family medicine at the Hebrew University Medical School and completed an MBA degree at the Technion, the Israeli Institute of Technology, and a cuisine degree at the Le Cordon Bleu in Sydney, Australia. Dr. Pollock, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, founded the Hadassah Healthy Cooking and Lifestyle Center, where his first lifestyle medicine intervention won the Hebrew University's K Award for Innovation. Dr. Pollock is the co-founder of the Israeli Society of Lifestyle Medicine and the author of the best-selling book, Delicious Diabetic Recipes, by Penn and Imagine Publishing. He joined the ACLM in 2010. His current focus is in clinical and translational research relating to lifestyle medicine, especially in the areas of healthy food preparation and medical education. Currently, he works under the mentorship of Dr. Edward Phillips, focusing on incorporating healthy food preparation into Joslin's lifestyle programs, food preparation coaching, and lifestyle medical education. And Dr. Ronnie Pollock will be joining us soon here, and we're going to be talking about lifestyle medicine today. I don't think I've ever done a show on this before, and although I think I may have mentioned it a few times, but this is a really trend in health and medicine these days, and so this is going to be a really interesting conversation. I'm just going to read you more of Ronnie's profile on LinkedIn. This is how we actually connected. His medical background, he's a family physician with a special interest in lifestyle medicine. His experience includes developing and operating healthy lifestyle interventions for patients and healthcare providers. Topics include prevention and treatment of medical conditions such as CVD, diabetes, cancer, IBD, celiac, obesity for children and adults, geriatric rehabilitation, and others. His culinary background, he's a chef, which I think is really great as well, and he has a special interest in healthy food. He says that his experience includes developing recipes and culinary techniques for the healthy population, as well as a variety of special dietary recommendations for people who have diabetes, again, IBD, celiac, heart disease, cancer, and more. He has experience teaching chefs and managing healthy culinary intervention in large-scale kitchens. His research background includes evaluating health promotion programs and lifestyle interventions, as well as health professional lifestyle empowering programs. And you might be wondering what that means. I know that he has an event coming up here really soon, and it's going to be about lifestyle medicine, including stress management, self-care, and also, actually, this is a really interesting event that Ronnie's going to be at. I know that Margaret Moore is going to be there talking about wellness coaching, and also Dr. Herbert Benson's going to be there. He's the director emeritus of the Benson Henry Institute for Mind-Body Medicine at Massachusetts General Hospital, and he wrote the best-selling book, The Relaxation Response. So lifestyle medicine really covers a lot of different things. It's really comprehensive. And just to go back to Ronnie's really impressive resume here, in his background, his academic teaching background, he developed curriculum and teaching nutrition and lifestyle medicine medicine to medical students, residents, and practicing physicians in the Hebrew University School of Medicine, Harvard Medical School, and more. And he also teaches culinary students in Hadassah College of Culinary School. And I'm just going to check and see if he's on the line yet and check my email here too. And in the meantime, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what lifestyle medicine is. And also, Dr. Ronnie Pollack has a best-selling book out. It's called Delicious Diabetic Recipes, the Gourmet Book for a Healthy Lifestyle. You can find this on Amazon.com. It is in paperback. And I think it's really interesting that Ronnie is a unique combination. This is what it says on Amazon. He's a unique combination of a medical doctor and also a Le Cordon Bleu master chef. I mean, you really can't beat that combination. And I'm hoping Ronnie joins us soon because this is what lifestyle medicine is, and it is going out. It's practicing kind of what the phrase implies. It's using your lifestyle to help you achieve better health and also well-being. And so I think it's really great that he's a chef because so much of well-being happens in the kitchen, right? It's like the food that we prepare and things of that nature. And so his book that's out, Delicious Diabetic Recipes, the Gourmet Cookbook for a Healthy Lifestyle, it's, you know, he really goes into, these are recipes for people with diabetes, and of course we know more and more people are being diagnosed with diabetes, even really young children. And according to Ronnie, there's a solution, and this is, again, these are quotes from Amazon, sufferers can live longer, healthier lives just by changing the way they eat. And this is lifestyle medicine right here, changing the way you eat, incorporating regular exercise, practicing meditation, practicing self-care, practicing stress management. These are the things that make up what's called lifestyle medicine. And I'm actually going to go over to the Institute for Lifestyle Medicine. They have a website. It is run through Harvard University, I believe. And let me just see if I can pull it up here really quickly. I'm going to read you some of the information on there. This is a really great trend, I think. And I really encourage you to check it out because I think, of course, the usual solution that we tend to try is the path of least resistance, right? Like it's what's the first like the magic pill I can take, or what's the least amount of work I can do? And I'm not here to preach to you. That's not my role. But here I am. I'm on the page, the Institute of Lifestyle Medicine. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them. This is where Ronnie is a research fellow. And I'm also going to, let me just check the chat room here. We have a couple of guests here if anyone wants to type in any questions. We're still waiting for Dr. Ronnie Pollack to join us, which I'm sure he will soon. So here we go. The Institute of Lifestyle Medicine was founded in 2007 at Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital and Harvard Medical School to reduce lifestyle-related death and disease in society through clinician-directed interventions with patients. It's pretty interesting, huh? A nonprofit professional education, research, and advocacy organization, the Institute of Lifestyle Medicine is uniquely positioned to ignite clinician involvement in lifestyle medicine. They offer the following services: lifestyle medicine CME courses, including lifestyle medicine tools for promoting healthy change and active lives, transforming ourselves and our patients. Of course, that's if you're a practitioner, and also other online courses. They also offer training for health professionals wishing to improve their personal lifestyle choices so they can be more effective role models for their patients. I think it's really interesting how that kind of goes both ways, right? Like, if you are the patient, you definitely want to work with someone who is a good role model, right, who leads a healthy lifestyle themselves. I think that makes a huge difference. The Institute of Lifestyle Medicine also offers consulting services to corporations, hospitals, medical practices, health and wellness providers, and fitness facilities. And additionally, they have an agenda of advocacy to promote health through lifestyle medicine. So, and again, it's just, this is an up-and-coming area of what we would call actually medicine. It's just we're incorporating lifestyle as a way to affect the course of our health and well-being, as opposed to going what's perhaps the easier route of using prescription drugs and surgery. And I'm not here to knock prescription drugs and surgery. I'm just saying that they're all alternatives. And Ronnie's not here yet. I'm gonna send him a quick email, just as a little reminder. We did confirm yesterday, and I just want to make sure he's on the East Coast. And you never know. Sometimes things happen, and so I'll send him a really quick note here. Go ahead and feel free to call in if you have any questions or any comments if you're in that chat room. If you have any questions or comments about lifestyle medicine, what are you doing to improve your health in terms of lifestyle? And again, we were mentioning that the other things that can be lifestyle medicine can include self-care, stress management, wellness coaching. I would definitely add coaching and wellness coaching into that picture. There are so many different ways that we can affect change, and of course, cooking healthy food, which is one of the things that hopefully we're going to be talking about today, because I think that in our really fast-paced society, it's super, super easy to kind of, that's kind of like the first thing that goes often, isn't it? I mean, is sort of like, okay, well, I'm just going to, you know, grab some food on the way home use that frozen food, or just, we don't really think too much about it sometimes, and maybe we might think to ourselves, well, it's just for today that I'm going to do that, but really those things add up over time, and then it becomes a lifestyle of how we are living our lives and how those tiny actions that we do add up into making actually major health changes over time. And I found, as someone who had a chronic condition for a long time, it was those small lifestyle changes that I made that actually made a huge difference in me recovering from a chronic condition. So that's why I'm such a huge proponent of lifestyle medicine. And I'm hoping that Ronnie can shed some more information for us here. Okay, I'm going to type him a really quick message. this is what happens on live radio sometimes, and that's why I encourage anyone who's listening to call in too. We can definitely still have a conversation about this, and hopefully Ronnie will join us at some point. I'm typing him a really quick message here. We are live on the air. Okay, we'll see if he's around. And put a little smiley face too. Okay. And so if anyone has any questions or comments, please feel free to call in. And if not, I'm going to tell you just a little bit more about the Institute of Lifestyle Medicine and Dr. Ronnie Pollack, and maybe we'll have to reschedule, and that's perfectly okay. I know that some of the other institutes that they are connected with here, some of their representatives for Institute of Lifestyle Medicine include the U.S. National Physical Activity Plan, the healthcare sector, American College of Preventive Medicine's Lifestyle Medicine Committee, Executive Council for ACSM's Exercise is Medicine Global Initiative. I think that's such a great tagline, don't you think? Exercise is medicine. I just absolutely love that. And also, the American College of Lifestyle Medicine Advisory Board. So that's enough of the boring part. But so I'm going to get into, let's do like tools and resources, maybe education. What are some things that you can do to incorporate lifestyle medicine into your life, kind of beyond the basics that we were talking about? Okay, here's one of my favorites. I'm going to pull this up. This is on their page, eliciting the relaxation response. Now, this is, again, I was mentioning Dr. Herbert Benson. He's at one of these events that Dr. Ronnie Pollack is going to be at really soon here, along with Margaret Moore. The event is called Practicing Lifestyle Medicine, Tools for Healthy Change. And let's see, this is going to happen on June 20th, 2014. Through Saturday, June 21st, 2014, and this is in Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts. So let me just check and see if Ronnie's on here. Nope, he's not on here yet. Okay, that's okay. So Ronnie's going to be at this event that I just mentioned, and one of his colleagues that's going to be there is Let me make sure I'm saying his name correctly, Dr. Herbert Benson. And I have used a lot of Dr. Benson's research in my book, The Memory of Health. He actually discovered and coined the term the relaxation response. Now, this is a tool that you can use for promoting healthy change. It is a part of lifestyle medicine, and it's called eliciting the relaxation response. And there are two essential steps. And so essentially what this does, let me first just say what the relaxation response is, and I'm going to check to see if Ronnie's on. He's not on yet. Okay. The relaxation response is the opposite of the stress response. So for anyone who knows what that is, it's the fight or flight response. So if you're feeling stressed out and you feel like you're stuck in traffic or you're late for work or you're worried about your home life or you're worried about getting to wherever you need to go or doing the million things that you need to do, you're in the stress response, most likely. So the relaxation response is the opposite response of that, and it's being in the parasympathetic response. And there are two ways to get there, according to Dr. Benson. There's the repetition of a word, sound, phrase, prayer, or muscular activity. That's one I tend to use a lot. I tend to go on meditative walks. And number two is passive disregard of everyday thoughts that inevitably come to mind and the return to your repetition. Now, that actually is also known as mindfulness meditation, just so you know. So mindfulness is another way to elicit the relaxation response, in my opinion. But the whole point of this is that this is a way that you can incorporate lifestyle medicine into your daily life. I find things like playing relaxing music or listening to repetitive sound. I have a Brookstone that I'll use, and I'll sometimes play that, and I'll play a lot of Pandora while I'm working, and just everything I can do to stay relaxed. This is definitely something I struggle with. And another thing is, so we were talking about, oh, here we go, Ronnie just wrote to me, let's see what he's saying. Hi, Edie, is it now? Let me just respond to him. Yes, it is. And let me give him the number again. He might be calling in. We'll see. Let me give him the number here. So I just wanted to give you an example of one tool of lifestyle medicine, and that would be practicing the relaxation response. Meditation is another one. Mindfulness meditation is huge. We'll see if he can read that. I may have to redo this message on here. Let me rewrite to him. Hang on a second. So there's mindfulness meditation. There's cooking. There's really like getting into the kitchen and kind of reintroducing yourself to food and like what it is. And also the relationship between yourself and food. Like I was talking with Mark David a little while ago. That was the last interview that I did. What is your relationship to food? What is your relationship to other people and food? Like, how does cooking bring people closer? I really feel like there's a huge missing component for a lot of us in terms of these really fast-paced lives that we lead. And again, I think that food preparation tends to be one of the first thing that goes. And so, I don't know, I'm definitely doing everything I can to, I'm trying to learn at least one new recipe a month. Maybe I'll make it two a month eventually. And, you know, I'm not perfect. I definitely have moments when I will just, like, throw an Amy's from the freezer into the microwave. I will admit that I've done that. I probably do it more than I should. However, I try to always have fresh salad. And, you know, it's just about reconnecting to kind of what keeps us alive, right? I think that's a huge part of it. So, okay, I sent him a message. I don't even know if he can read it, but we'll see if he calls in here. Okay. Again, this is live radio for you. Oh, here he is. Let me see if this is Ronnie. Hi, Ronnie. Is this you?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. I just sent you a message that may or may not be legible.
Thank you so much for being here.
That's okay. It's really confusing when there's the East Coast and West Coast, and it's super confusing. So I just want to thank you so much for being here.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. And I want to make sure I'm saying your name correctly, too. How do you say your name? I've been saying Dr. Ronnie Pollock. Is that correct or incorrect?
That's perfect.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, and I was wondering, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. This is a real treat for me and for anyone who's listening. And I was wondering if you could tell us, like, what your definition of lifestyle medicine is. I've been sort of trying to give a definition of it, but I think coming from an expert will probably be very helpful. So what is your definition?
Well, it's not my definition. It's a definition that was published in the Journal of American Medical Association 3 years ago. I think it was the first article that published that, like, summarized the whole idea.
Okay.
And it's talked about adopting healthy behaviors and sustaining it.
Mm, okay.
I mean, not just eating healthy the next month, eating healthy from now on.
And there's the rub. How does one get there from, say, eating healthy for one day to eating healthy for a lifetime? I know that I use wellness coaching for part of that. But when you're educating,
all right, yeah, that's
students,
a good idea.
Yeah, students and practitioners. That could be actually how we met. Is through the whole wellness coaching link. I'm thinking, between well coaches. I'm trying to figure out how we met, but I think that could be it. But when you're training students and practitioners, what are some of the things that you say to them? That, like, those, you know, kind of those keywords or those taglines that help people realize, like, or have those aha moments when they kind of connect the dots between, okay, I can eat well for one day, and that's great, but how do I maintain that for a lifetime and kind of switch gears in our heads so that it becomes natural?
I think that's a key point. Well, it has a connection with coaching, but not necessarily. I mean, many people, when they're thinking about changing their lifestyle, or, like, maybe, let's say, doing a diet, so they think about, all right, let's do a huge effort to lose weight for, like, a month till I lose, like, 10 pounds, and that's the goal. And they don't really think of what can I really adapt to my life. I mean, what can I do for more than 1 month? And we said, you don't have to lose 10 pounds in a month. You don't necessarily even have to lose 1 pound in a month. You should adopt behavior that you think you can sustain. And after the new behavior will sustain, you can think about new ones. And then maybe in 2 years, you'll lose a couple of pounds. That's fine. But, you know, we're talking about lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it's a little bit new way of thinking.
It really is. And I was really listening carefully to what you're saying, because in coaching, we tend to have goals. Whereas this doesn't sound like it's about goals necessarily. It's about adopting behaviors that you can, like, sustain, like you said. That most likely will have benefits of reaching a healthy weight and things of that nature, but that's not necessarily the goal.
Right, and if even in the coaching area, we know that the goal that we need to set are behaviors, and weight is not a good goal because we don't have enough control on weight. I mean, if your goal is to lose 1 pound in 2 weeks, how can you know what you should do? I mean, you can eat less, you can exercise more, but we don't have, like, a specific matrix to know, all right, I'll add, we don't really have. I cannot tell you, all right, you should exercise maybe 5 minutes more a day, eat 10 calorie less a day, multiply it, and in 2 weeks you lose 1.2 pounds. It doesn't work like this. And pounds and weight it's not the ultimate goal. I mean, there is a huge health benefit from eating healthy food and exercising. That's not concerned with weight. I mean, I can still be a little bit overweight, but I can improve my health very much if I will improve my diet and exercise more.
I was really struck by when you said that weight's not the goal. Because again, we tend to focus on these kind of arbitrary goals, like I want to lose 10 pounds, and it's kind of missing the point. That's what I hear you saying, that it's really about increasing our level of well-being, and being healthier and enjoying life more. Isn't that what it's more about than like reaching some arbitrary number on a scale? That's kind of missing the whole point.
Yeah, I mean, it's missing the whole point, but it also can be very frustrating because mm-hmm. it's really, mm-hmm. I mean, if you're improving your exercise level and you exercise, let's say 150 minutes a week, mm-hmm. which is a really fantastic goal, and, mm-hmm. and then you realize that you don't losing weight. So you might say, all right, so if I'm not losing weight and it's very, it's not easy for me to exercise so much, so, well, I can stop it. It doesn't work for me. But mm-hmm. it's not true because exercise has a huge benefits that are overweight, behind weight. So if, mm-hmm. if the weight, just the weight is the goal, so we missed a huge opportunity to improve our health.
It's lifestyle medicine is much more like it's holistic. It's a much more holistic approach to health and well-being than sort of isolating certain goals like losing weight or let's say lowering blood pressure. I mean, even lowering cholesterol. I mean, these are obviously not blood pressure, but lowering cholesterol. These are obviously can be really crucial sometimes, like for certain individuals. Well, maybe I shouldn't use the word crucial, but you're the doctor, so I'm curious. How did you get into lifestyle medicine, and also how did you get into medicine in general? Maybe I should ask you that question first. How did you get into medicine, and then what led you to lifestyle medicine? Out of that,
Me personally.
Yes. Yes.
Ah, all right. Actually, my first meeting with medicine was while I wanted to be a vet.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure how it's here to be a vet, but I graduated in Israel, and in my country you have to start with either biology or medicine to be a vet.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to start to learn medicine, and then I went to with that path.
Hmm. And then so then
but
something
my dream was to be a vet.
That is so great. Well, I happen to love animals, so I think that's fantastic. And so you were studying to be a vet, and then what piqued your interest in working with people?
I mean, I started to learn medicine. That's the way to become a vet in my country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you start medicine, and then after a few years, you can apply to go to vet school.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I started with people, and I like them, you know. I like people.
Well, that's always helpful.
They're a nice creature.
and then where did the interest for lifestyle medicine come in?
I always was interested in education. And
mm-hmm.
and I
okay.
think lifestyle is has a lot with education.
Hmm. Okay.
I think so. I mean, you it's like it's more a way of living than prescribing medication.
I think that is very interesting that you said that. And so then how does you as a doctor, when you're meeting with patients, I mean, are you seeing patients right now, or are you just like training other doctors? Do you still practice, right?
Right, and this month I don't see patients, but mm-hmm. I saw and I will see a lot, so we can talk about that.
Okay, so my question is, when you see a patient And if it's your when you're working with somebody, and let's say they have diabetes, what would be a protocol that you would go through with them that would be like your protocol versus a typical protocol that someone might see with a like if they're going in to see a doctor? What would differentiate, say, incorporating lifestyle medicine with you as opposed to the traditional way?
Well, I think, first of all, I'm being mindful to the fact that I would like to talk with the patient about lifestyle. I mean, in many physicians, because of the shortage in time, don't get into it.
Right.
It's before asking me how do I do it, we can talk about to do it, you know?
Right,
before the how. Because many physicians don't find time to do it. And there's a lot of physician-patient meetings, even with diabetic patients, that's finished without talking about lifestyle at all. And we think that it is enough important to make some room for it.
Absolutely. So does that require like a longer meeting with patients then, or how do you go about that? Because I know that doctors these days they have like 10 minutes or 15, even that.
That's challenging. It's definitely challenging. But, you know, you still have 10 minutes and you have to decide what's the most important stuff to put in. And I think lifestyle should get more more priority. And more than that, for example, you mentioned diabetic patients. With diabetic patients, I can use, for example, the help of a dietitian most of the time. I'll have to be mindful to the fact that nutrition is important and to ask the patient to see a dietitian. It's not always happened.
You said it doesn't always happen.
It's not always happened, no.
Doesn't always happen. Is it very common? I'm assuming, if I understand it correctly, that these days a patient is seeing many healthcare practitioners at once. And you're all kind of working together with that patient. Is that true? There's like they can might have their doctor and a dietitian and maybe a mental health professional.
That might happen.
And that I'm wondering, how do you find that? Does that work well? Do you find that works well within the system to help patients?
It's mostly helped them. Because it's more easier for them to use all the facilities because you can you can come in one time and see many healthcare provider. I mean the conversation between the healthcare providers might happen if it's not in the same day because you know they're working together on the same practice. But it's mostly convenient for the patient.
Right. I was thinking that it would be helpful for them. And then I was wondering, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but how did the Institute for Lifestyle Medicine come about? And then can you tell us your role there? Like, I know that you're a research fellow there. I'm just wondering if you could tell us more about the Institute and your involvement and I really love the tagline that like exercise is medicine. I just love that. I think that's brilliant. Whoever came up with that, and I know that maybe wasn't the Institute of Lifestyle Medicine, but.
So the institute was founded a couple of years ago by Dr. Eddie Phillips, which is now the director of the institute. I think the main goal of the institute is to educate and empower physicians and other healthcare providers to incorporate lifestyle medicine into their practice.
Oh, I see.
That's the main goal, and you can break it down to educate medical students and to educate a practicing physician and to educate residents. That's
fantastic.
That's the main goal of the institute. Yeah.
And then I think that's fantastic. And then how have you all found that? I mean, how many physicians are being trained right now? Is there a lot of interest in it? I'm really curious what it's like from, because I know that it's still a pretty new kind of term and practice in general. I'm personally really excited about it because I really think that it will have a huge impact on people on both sides of the fence, both for practitioners and also patients. Once people, you know, start to understand it more and utilize it more, and I'm wondering what the interest level is on the practitioner side right now.
Well, the interest level is rising. It's rising dramatically.
Okay.
Good. If you talk about numbers, so we are doing for practicing physician 2 programs a year, and the program is very big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There is one that's coming soon in this June that's going to be in Boston.
I saw that. Yes, I was reading from that.
Sorry?
I was reading from that.
All right.
I saw that. I was reading from it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm very excited for the roster. It's you and Margaret Moore and Herbert Benson, and it's very exciting.
Oh yeah.
I wish I could be there.
We're talking about like a few hundred physicians that we hope that will attend and usually attend any conference like this.
That's fantastic.
And we are now about to video this course and to put it online as an online CME program because of the interest of so many physicians.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening very fast.
That's so great. And then I think this part is fascinating that you're a chef. I mean, how did you
get into
that's fantastic. So how did you get into that? And is this something that you had a plan for? Was it, how did that all come about? And I know that you do I know you do a lot with this. I mean, this is a huge part of what you do, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, part of lifestyle medicine is understanding that that lifestyle, it's not just biology science, is a behavioral science. And if you would like, for example, people to eat better, so you don't need just to teach them what's good and what's bad. You need to teach them how to do it because the behavior is to cook, is to eat. If I just know that it's better to eat whole grain and I don't know how to cook it and it's not tasty to me and I don't know where to buy it and you know, and so on. So it's no chance that I will implement it into my life.
I really like how you say that. Okay, go ahead.
So my career goal is to this is quite big incorporate chefs into the health arena, and that's what I'm working on in my lifestyle in my research fellowship. That's one of my main topics.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. And so it's just kind of like joining forces, it sounds to me.
Yeah.
And then will that also include, will the chefs be educating then other, I'm assuming other people on how to prepare food?
Yeah.
Is that the goal? And that's so fantastic. Go ahead.
So what I'm doing at the moment, so I'm a couple of days a week, I'm just leaving my stethoscope aside and putting a chef hat and just teach people how to cook healthy.
Wow.
And I hope that while it being proved that it really has a health benefit, so we'll be able to educate more chefs how to do it. But at this stage, I'm doing it.
That's fantastic. And then you have so many, you have an MBA, and then you also, I'm sorry, what did you say?
That's it.
No, that's not it.
I'm a physician.
You're a physician, and then I was pulling it up here. You studied at Le Cordon Bleu.
That's when I did my culinary education.
So that's just, I mean, that's just very impressive that you fit all that in. I'm just wondering how you, how did you have to, for, this is maybe more a personal question, but how did you have time to fit all of that in? Of course, that's maybe, I guess when you're really passionate about what you're doing, time doesn't really matter. But I'm just, I'm curious, because that sounds like a really, that's like a very prestigious program, isn't it? Le Cordon Bleu?
Yes, it is. But, you know, I just feel that sometimes you're doing something and you just feel that the environment is not ready for that. Mm. And I think it's just happening. I mean, I don't spending much of time and effort to convince people it's important. I think if I have done such a program like even 10 years ago, my life was different because I think less people were listening to physician with like cooking and who cares about food. And I think now it's the world is ready for that.
I think so too. I think that was very well said. I think the world is ready. Yeah, it's just, I mean, people are looking for answers. I think outside of the usual protocol, and it is coming down to lifestyle, or it's opening up into lifestyle. Maybe that's a better way of saying that. And then this is also a side note, though, but how did you fit in an MBA degree? Was that? I'm curious what that was about. Was that Master of Business Arts, right? How did you fit that in? Or what was that? What was the reason for doing that?
Because, you know, if you would like to, all this kind of lifestyle medicine, it's a new field in the medical arena.
And right, okay.
And an MBA, it's not just one aspect of it is like managing a huge in corporations. Another part of it is how to develop initiatives and how to develop ideas into a real life project. That was really helpful for me.
So really kind of like the more business side of how do I get my message out there? Is that one of the reasons that you did that?
That's part of it because it's not the mainstream, so have to find the many alternatives of how to fund that, how to raise money for developing our ideas. Yeah.
Wow, that's just really impressive. You're a best-selling author, so you have a book. It's called Delicious Diabetic Recipes, the Gourmet Cookbook for a Healthy Life.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if you could tell us about your book. How did that go about? How did you write it? How did you compile it? What was that whole process like? Anything you'd like to share, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, it was a great experience for me to write this book.
Congratulations, by the way. Sorry. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. And I was really happy that it sold well because not just because it's, you know, I wrote it, but because it really helps me to get the impression that you know people are really wants to learn about that and it's important for them and my career goals are real and are reasonable.
Yeah.
So that was like a feedback for me from outside.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes.
And because, you know, because it's like new idea, it's not like writing a regular cooking book and sells a lot of copies. Is selling books of quite strange idea. So it was really, I was really happy about this feedback from people. And the process of writing it was I founded 8 years ago a healthy cooking center, and it was a great place. It is actually not a, it was it still is it's a great place.
It still is.
still is, yeah. And it's unique with. That's like it's the only place that chef can communicate with dietitian, Because you know, food is a very powerful topic for many people, and chef talks about food, and physician talks about food, and they talk about the same food, and the food that the food we eat, like we cannot Sunday, Monday eat the food that the physician recommend, and you know, Wednesday, Thursday eat the food that the chefs recommend. I mean, we need to eat. It's the same food, and you know, these two disciplines are almost non-communicate between them. It's amazing. Huh. I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, chefs are quite a food stakeholders. I mean, chefs are showing on TVs and talk about food all the time, and we really, our like eating behavior are really changing by the chef. And so I think that in order to bring a more healthy food in the world, so chefs should communicate with physician and nutritionist. And
Oh no, I think that's fascinating. I never thought about it that way.
So in the healthy cooking center, there is a staff that composed of dietitian and chef, and they develop the food together. We're doing workshop for physician for patient. Like patient are coming to learn how to cook healthy food for themselves. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, writing the book was just collecting the pieces from my work and put it together into a book.
I see. Okay, that is fascinating. And this is are you talking about the Hadassah? Am I saying this correctly? Hadassah? How do you say that? Hadassah?
Yeah,
Healthy
you're
Cooking
saying
Center?
It perfect.
Okay. And where is that in Israel? Or is is that here in the United States or is it in Israel?
No, it is back in Israel, but
it's
now
in
Yeah, but now in Jocelyn we are starting to establish the same idea.
That's so fantastic.
We teach patient how to cook. Yeah, we teach diabetic patient how to cook.
So you're teaching both diabetic patients how to cook, and then also working with other doctors, like the chefs, because I heard you saying like chefs and doctors working together to develop recipes, right? And then, which is, I think, a fantastic idea. I mean, that's brilliant. And then, at Jocelyn, it's both patients and also doctors and chefs, all of our, and maybe not at the same time, but you're all in there, like, learning and teaching one another. Is that, I'm trying to get a visual.
For example, this is something, really real. The conference in June that you, that you saw, I have there a spot, and in that spot I will teach the audience to cook.
Wow. And what are you going to be teaching? Can you tell us if you're going to be there?
I don't know yet. But one of the reasons I don't know yet, that because before any session, we send the participant a survey, and we ask them what they would like to learn. And what do they need to know more in order to eat healthier? So, and usually I'm adjusting the teaching to the audience wishes.
That's great, though. I love that. It's like kind of being very in the moment with it and like meeting, like really, you know, like fulfilling people's needs, which is fantastic, instead of just having like an agenda. I just love that. Oh, go ahead.
No, sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Last presentation that I did was last week, and the physician wanted to know is in Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital here in Boston.
Yes. Yeah.
I teach the residents, and what they wanted to know is how to cook vegetables among the all ingredients that was the gap that they feel they most needed. And how to cook the vegetables easy and quick.
Yeah, which everybody
food,
wants.
But easy and quick preparing
yes.
techniques.
No, so then maybe that's a question I can ask you. So then how does one cook vegetables easy and quick? Because I think that is a stumbling block for a lot of people. So when we talk about, you know, successfully living, like finding sustainable, changing our behavior in a sustainable way, I think a stumbling block is cooking vegetables. I really do. So can you give us some tips for, this would be both for practitioners and client or patients. How do you do that?
I think we should think about easy preparing in a more wide angle, because for example, if there is a dish that I can make once and can stay in my fridge and be tasty for 5 days,
mm-hmm.
so even if to make that dish will take half an hour,
mm-hmm.
it still will be for the whole week and an easy way to consume vegetables.
That's true.
So
what's that dish?
I'm not looking. Sorry?
Sorry. What's that dish?
So what we did last week was a whole workshop on antipasti. It's
okay.
Italian techniques of making vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's behind vegetables. It's you can do antipasti out of cheese and out of chicken as well, but we were focused on vegetables.
Okay.
And what that means is cooking the vegetables in a very minimal way,
mm-hmm.
and then let them cool down and eat them cold. And
okay.
by doing that, you actually have a tasty vegetables in the
mm-hmm.
fridge that you can consume for almost the whole week, and you don't have to make a salad out of it, and you don't have to spice it. You can just take it out of the container and eat it. And we cook together many kind of antipasti. And I think what's important for me, that usually when I teach people, and that's the difference, I think one of the difference between our work and the regular chef works,
mm-hmm.
that we try to teach the people how to cook at home and
mm-hmm.
not necessarily a specific gourmet food. For example,
okay.
I won't tell the patient you should mix one zucchini with one leaf of mint and 2 tablespoons of balsamic vinaigrette, and that is the great recipe, and you should eat that.
Mm-hmm.
I will explain that if you'll take any vegetable that you like and mix it with balsamic vinaigrette and any herb that you like, or any herb that you still have at home from other dish, you can make
mm-hmm.
an antipasti that will be great. So
mm-hmm.
we are not looking at the like specific, you know, two Michelin star recipe. We are looking about learning techniques of how to cook more.
Yeah, and just getting like the basics, so that and hopefully people are getting feeling more comfortable with cooking the basics.
You're so right. I think that cooking is much about confidence. I think that
mm-hmm.
many people can make much more food they can think they can.
Mm. Oh, I love how you say that. Cooking is so much about confidence. And yeah, I think that's definitely true for me. I definitely cook more than I used to, or prepare food more than I used to,
mm-hmm.
but I still feel like there's more to go, and I feel like my confidence goes up and down with it. But cooking is very creative in nature too, isn't it? Isn't part of it just taking
yeah.
risks and just seeing what comes out and then.
Yeah, you know, but we're not necessarily talking about making like a brulee cream that you have to bring the food into specific degree. That's maybe skill, not just confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
you know, but
okay.
just making yourself something to eat. Most of us,
mm-hmm.
if most of us would go into the kitchen and you know, cook something together, it will be fine.
mm, I love that. That takes kind of the kind of the fear out of it is just, yeah, let's just go in there together and just enjoy each other's company and let's see what we come up with. And then just knowing that you're knowing that it'll be good for you is definitely better than fast food. And I love that. And I find it fascinating that you're a chef. In addition to being a doctor and in addition to having an MBA, like, it's just such a great combination. It just seems like you're very dedicated and passionate to, sharing your message. I'm wondering if you have any recipes you want to share or takeaways? Is there anything that really stands out for you that you want to make sure people know about or understand or have an aha or insight about from your work?
Maybe I can send you some antipasto recipes if you can put it on the site.
Sure, I can definitely try. Absolutely, that'd
be
great.
Happy to
be great
do it
for me. That's fantastic.
And
that's so nice of you.
Yeah. And I think that maybe one easy recipe that we can just discuss and people will remember very easy is maybe two. I mean, one would be just, about antipasti. So I think I think that the most easy way is using a grill pan. And let's say this is another tip that I really would like to share. Because grill pan is a great pan to have in the kitchen.
Okay.
Because first of all, you don't have to use oil at all while using it. Not that using olive oil or canola oil is good for is bad for your health. Those are great oils. But if you you can use the grill pan very easy and very clean. And if you take a zucchini, for example, and cut it into slice.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually like to cut zucchini into slices in a diagonal way. So we have like maybe 10, 15 slices, which are a bit longer than just regular slices.
Okay.
And I roast them on the grill pan for like maybe half a minute on each side until I can see like the grill lines on the zucchini, and then I take it off the grill pan.
Okay.
And then I'm doing maybe medium ball. I'm combining, if you're talking about four zucchini, so you combine four tablespoons of balsamic vinaigrette with four tablespoons of olive oil with one mince of garlic cloves and some salt and pepper, and put all the zucchini inside. And you can also chop some nana into it, like four tablespoons of chopped mint. Sorry.
Okay.
Sounds
really
good. That's it. It can be in the fridge like for 3-4 days, and you have a great zucchini. You can put in your sandwich. You can eat it as a side dish at dinner. You can use it as a snack. I mean, you can use it many way, and you do it once and you have it for almost a whole week.
That's a great recipe. And there are a couple things. So cooking it just very slightly, is that part of why it stays fresh for so long? That, and also like the vinegar, is like preserving it? Is it the combination of the two, or
the goal, The simple goal is to consume more vegetables. If you have the energy to do it every day, so it's better. if you have the energy to plant the zucchini in your garden and to have them from your garden, so it's even better. But we're talking about real life, and it's really important.
Right.
It's really important to understand that to take care of yourself takes time, and people today not have plenty of time. You know,
yeah,
it's
that's
most
the
of us are like in shortage of time. So we try to you know to take the most important things and to help people to incorporate them into their life. So if you
okay.
cook the vegetables and you can use it for a couple of days, so it's fine. It's really
mm-hmm.
okay.
So there are two things that really stood out for me that you said there. A is that the goal is to eat more vegetables, and I think that's huge because they're alkaline, right? And they're really going to help. I mean, we're supposed to be eating, what is it, like 80% alkaline. It's really going to help your digestive system, right, in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want to – there's so many reasons to be eating vegetables, and I think there's this huge block with so many of us. It's like one of the fundamental building blocks of life, and there's this huge block with it. So I just really appreciate that recipe. But also, it's I find, like, the more vegetables I eat, they to me – when your palate gets more refined, they start to taste better, and there's like a little bit of sweetness to them, and they make you feel so good. Though there's that huge part of it is once
so
you start
right.
eating them,
you're so right.
you feel
you're so, right.
so much better.
You know,
so,
yeah, you're
yeah,
so right.
Yeah,
you know, one of the challenges of our culture is
mm-hmm.
that we are adjusted, our palate was adjusted to such a strong tasted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we like drink Coke, even
mm-hmm.
if it's a Diet Coke, so
yes.
the taste is still very, very strong.
Very
so
strong.
Like after
mm-hmm.
drinking Diet Coke, it's almost hard to feel a taste of an apple. But
yeah.
when your palate adjusted
mm-hmm.
to more like gentle tasted, so you
mm-hmm.
can feel such a great tasted, and,
mm-hmm.
and the variety of the tasted in the fruits is so much more exciting than in the sodas, because
yes.
in soda it's sweet, strong sweet, and that's it. And when you adjust your palate to feel the mint and the apple and the pears and the orange, and it's so enjoyable.
Yes, and there are so many different tastes, like subtle tastes,
uh-huh.
that
uh-huh.
There's like they're sweet
uh-huh.
and sour and salty and bitter and
uh-huh.
and they're so that's part of eating food, right? Like preparing it and eating it in a healthy way, and using fresh
uh-huh.
ingredients, your senses get to experience all of those ingredients
yeah.
as well, and
sure.
that's motivating, right? Like that makes you want to have more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the way, and the same with salt. When eating the food which is so salty, like all the snacks
mm-hmm.
and the chips, so you
mm-hmm.
cannot feel the taste of the vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And just after adjusting
yeah.
your palate, you start to enjoy all this tasted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a huge point. There are two points, but that's one of them. That is that because our palates are so used to, like you were saying, salt and these sugars and artificial these amped up kind of commercial products that their goal, right, is to sell food, right? Like they're trying, I mean, I'm not knocking anybody, but their goal is to make their food taste as good as possible. So if that's what you're eating all day and every day, home cooked food is not going to taste the same to you as it would to somebody else who is maybe more used to like growing their own vegetables. But the point here is that I think the point is that actually eating your vegetables actually taste great, and not only taste great, but they make you feel great. And it is a matter of kind of waking back up to that and taking some risks and trying new things and allowing your body to adjust. And then your body will be like, I need
Thank
this.
You.
Like, please give me more.
You're so right.
Yeah. So it's self-fulfilling. It's kind of like I notice, like, the more active I am, the more my body asks for healthy food anyway. You know, so I don't really have a choice in the matter. My body just says, I need minerals and protein. You know, please give me – refuel me back up here. fill me. And then, but also, it also affects your state of mind. I noticed in the event that's coming up, Practicing Lifestyle Medicine, you guys are taking like a meditation break. And I mean, the better we eat, I notice that it affects my states of mind. And then it changes my frame of mind. And so I feel more peaceful And I feel like there is more time. It relaxes me, and especially the more vegetables that you have, that means the more minerals that you have, right? So you're going to naturally feel more relaxed with, like, more magnesium in your body and who knows what else. And that kind of brings me to the second point that you made, is that taking care of yourself takes time. This is, I have to tell you, this is one of my new favorite quotes ever. I needed to hear this personally, and I hope it's okay if I quote you on this in the future, because I think that's brilliant. And, you know, in our culture, everybody talks about wanting to take care of themselves. Oh, I need to do this and this and this, but I don't have the time. And it's like, well, at some point, you have to have that realization, don't you, that it does take time to take care of yourself, and so you have to prioritize. And isn't that kind of like coming full circle, like isn't that what lifestyle medicine is all about, is it is changing those behaviors, including like making time to take care of yourself. I mean, wouldn't you say that that's one of the behaviors?
Sure. You know that many people claim that after like finding time for themselves, they realize that they still do all the other important thing they need to do. I mean, it's not really it's not really affect the other goals in life.
Yes, I have to kind of agree with that. And I don't know who said this. I don't know if it was Deepak Chopra or somebody said this. I don't know. I hear so many quotes these days. I can't remember who said what, but somebody said there's really no such thing as time anyway. Like they said you have all the time in the world. You know, just take your time and do what matters to you. And you know, you have the time. We have this artificial relationship with time, I think, and I find it very concerning that you know we tend to think that the world's going to end if we don't do this and this and like A, B, and C right away. But we're kind of exchanging our life energy for these, you know, these things that maybe don't even exist, like these deadlines. I mean, deadlines do exist, but at the same time, what's more important, you know, like if you don't have a foundation of well-being, health and well-being, then you're not going to be there for those deadlines anyway. So I really appreciate your insight and expertise, because I do think this is a huge part of, I mean, I'm still learning about lifestyle medicine, but kind of listening to you speak, I feel like I have a better understanding of it now.
Well, thank you so
much. Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on. And I think that food is a huge component of it, and reconnecting with what sustains you physically, right? Like, I mean, and then also just taking more time for yourself, and again, taking care of yourself takes time. So, is there anything else that you wanted to add, Ronnie? I wanted to thank you so much for being here, and I just it's such a pleasure to meet you on the phone and on LinkedIn. And
thank you so much. I had a great time.
Oh, great. Thank you. Okay, so I guess we'll probably come to a conclusion, unless there's anything else that you want to say. Or I want to mention your book, Delicious Diabetic Recipes, is on Amazon. And it's by Dr. Ronnie Pollock. Again, do you want to say your own name? I'm worried that I'm not saying it correctly.
You pronounce it just perfect.
Okay. All right. Good enough try anyway. Okay, so Delicious Diabetic Recipes. And again, you are a research fellow with the Institute of Lifestyle Medicine, which is part of the Joslin Diabetes Center. Is that correct? Out of Harvard? Harvard Medical School. And it is such a pleasure to meet you today, and I can't thank you enough for being here. And I hope that you have a great rest of your day there on the East Coast, plan for Saturday. And I will talk to you offline at some point. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. is Edie Summers. I'm actually still on the line. I wanted to mention one more thing. I'm so grateful to have Ronnie on my show here, and that was just, I hope that that was valuable for you to learn a little bit more about what lifestyle medicine even is. And I forgot to mention, I wanted to mention this, that Ronnie is going to be one of our, he's going to be a contributing expert to our new online wellness community, Club Smash On. This is really exciting. We're building this new community that's going to have really amazing experts on it, and he's going to be sharing some of his information on there as well, so you can find him there as well. That's coming up soon and here in a few months, so I'll keep you posted on Club Smash On as it develops. But I just wanted to thank you so much for listening today, and I hope that this was, I really had some aha moments here, so I know that sounds very Oprah, but I really did, and I really hope that you do find the time to take care of yourself, and I'm saying this to myself too, so I really feel like, you know, we live in this really modern world, and at the same time, you know, we have pretty ancient bodies still. That's a quote from someone else, and I have no idea who it is at this point, but it's really true. We kind of need to go back to basics a little bit. I know that I'm doing this. I'm really trying to make an effort to be present for my life and also my health and well-being, and I really believe that well-being is the basis of, it's kind of like the foundation of achieving whatever else is that you want to achieve. And, you know, I didn't plan to get into health and well-being and medicine and all of those things. I was going to be a writer, and I guess I really am in a way. But, you know, I had my own health challenges that sort of brought me down this road, and I'm so glad that it did, because well-being, the practice of well-being is definitely a way in. It's like it can be a foundation and a way into discovering other parts of life. Like, you can master your well-being, and then out of that you can master anything, but it really is kind of a foundational skill. And we're going to have some really great other interviews coming up here, and I just really want to keep the conversation going with everyone, so I really encourage you to stay tuned, keep tuning in both here and with yourself, and let's just keep the conversation going about how can we create a sustainable life for ourselves on all levels of life, in terms of health and wellness and fitness, relationships, personally, professionally, financially, all of it. One of my main passions is self-development, and I definitely have a lot of guests that come on and we talk about self-development, but I love the combination of well-being and self-development. I think they go really well together, hand in hand. So stay tuned. We're going to keep the conversation going here, and I hope you have a beautiful day, and I will talk to you again soon. Actually, I have an interview coming up on Monday with Rusty Gregory, and he is a certified Well Coaches Wellness Coach as well. So he and I both were trained with the Well Coaches Institute, and so that's, I'm really looking forward to that. I'm going to create his show page here really soon, and so you can come back and listen to him. You know, we're going to be talking about self-healthcare, healthcare reform, kind of what's going on with healthcare reform and how we can make it really personal. So come and tune back in this coming Monday. That will be Monday, April 28th. I'll be talking to Rusty Gregory. He's a certified Well Coaches Wellness Coach. And again, we share that in common. I'm a wellness coach as well, and I absolutely love wellness coaching, and I'm pretty sure that's how I met Ronnie, although I'm not really 100% sure at this point. I meet so many amazing people, and sometimes I lose track of how exactly we connected, but I really thank you for listening in today, and I hope you have a beautiful, healthy, relaxing day. Take some time for yourself if you can, and thanks for tuning in. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.